Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So news of the morning, Ben Bramer, the tight end from Pierce High, who committed a while ago in the class of 23, committed when Scott Frost was the head coach. And then once Frost was fired, Matt Campbell said, "Hello, how quickly can I get to Pierce? If I get to Norfolk, what, straight up 81, I'll be there?" Open the door with the firing of Frost. And Iowa State's done a good job over the last couple of months of building a relationship. And today, Ben Bramer has made it official that he has flipped from Nebraska to Iowa State. Now, Nebraska's going to try and flip a wide receiver that has been committed to Iowa State for a while, Ngoy from Lincoln High. But I wonder if also into play, and I've wondered this aloud, Ravi, I mean, Matt Campbell being in Ames, Iowa, mm-hmm. and the success that they've had, you know, take out this year, was not a good year at Iowa State. You fired your OC, your strength and conditioning coordinator. Just not a good year for Matt Campbell. That, why haven't they gotten more into the state of Nebraska and recruiting and won battles? Like, you don't see him a ton in the metro.
No.
Now, it ramped up a little bit in the past year, but, you know, you're like, okay, Ames, Iowa is basically 2.5 hours away. But those are two prospects that I mentioned that they have been in on for a while. They got one. They have one. He may flip to Nebraska. But I wonder also if this, and they have a lot of interest in Carter Nelson at Ainsworth, just like Nebraska does in the mm-hmm. class of 24, if they say, you know what, I know Highway 20. I'll just stay on Highway 20. I'll go west, and I'll run right into Ainsworth. If that helps in their recruiting of him. Because it's pretty clear in the early week in a day that Matt Rhule, since he was officially announced as the head coach and had the old presser, that Carter Nelson is one of their priorities. Now, I think Caleb should be the number one priority in the class of 24, but they've made it pretty clear with their visits to him out there and then Nelson being in Lincoln over the weekend that he is a priority in 24. But I wonder if this now develops a little recruiting battle with Iowa State for his services.
Yeah, it is a little bit strange considering how active Iowa is here, that Iowa State hasn't been. I would expect them to have been kind of on the same level as Iowa in terms of trying to come into Nebraska, get some talent, especially, I mean, it is pretty close. It's closer. It's significantly closer than Iowa City. I wonder if being out of the Big 12 kind of seemingly removes them from the footprint a little bit, which is weird because, I mean, they're still very active locally. It seems like Kansas State spends a decent amount of time up here, so I don't know that it's totally a conference thing, but it is strange. If I were Matt Campbell, there's enough players here that are good enough to play at Iowa State that he should probably send his staff here a little bit more frequently, at least as frequently as Iowa does, because they get a pretty good amount of guys out of this area and that have been pretty consistently quality performers for him.
And a little bit of recruiting Nebraska, and we spent a lot of time talking about in-state recruiting, is having a connection, a familiarity. You know, Kansas State has Connor Riley. I mean, people around here, everybody knows Connor Riley, mm-hmm. especially in this town. You know, prep guy from what he did with at North Dakota State to now what he's doing at Kansas State, and he likes recruiting in this area. You know, that is, as I watch this staff come together, and I'm glad that they are putting a lot of emphasis on in-state recruiting, but there is a part of knowing the Big Ten, mm-hmm. like the style of play. You have familiarity with stadiums, how coaches on other staffs, how teams operate, is also just the familiarity of what it's like to recruit in Nebraska. That it's changed where not everybody is GBR and, mm-hmm. you know what, I was going to name my boy Tom, but, you know, I felt like everybody in the state was naming their boy Tom. That you have to have some familiarity with how to recruit, whether it be in Ainsworth or whether it be at Omaha Westside. And that's, you know, Iowa State doesn't have that connection, where like a K-State has, or the Iowa being familiar with they've had success here and they've gotten players. And a lot of coaches know the LeVar Woods and the Brian Ferentzes who have recruited in this area for a long time.
Yeah, so I mean, Iowa has been present in Omaha for quite a while in terms of getting guys out of here, getting contributors out of Omaha, getting contributors out of this area, not just Omaha, you know, the state as well. You wonder with a, you mentioned Nebraska, nobody on this staff really having that connection. You wonder how much more important that makes a potential Jake Peets hire as the quarterback coach, or theoretically the quarterback coach. We don't know exactly yet, because he does have those connections, right? He's got the connections to the state. He's got kind of that inherent respect from the people around the state that know who Jake Peets is, that know he's got the pedigree and the connection to the area, where it kind of just opens the door for him without having to build a relationship with the gatekeeper before he can even get to the kid. Mm-hmm. He kind of has that built-in relationship right off the bat just by being Jake Peets. So that, I think, is actually pretty important for them to land him, not just because he's a really good coach that's coached at some really good places recently, but I think the Nebraska connection there actually does help kind of help the new staff navigate that a little bit as well.
Shifting over to Colorado and Deion Yu, did you see the video yesterday? Was he doing he must have been doing a photo shoot or getting ready to shoot something in TV, because he was in a barber's chair having makeup put on,
mm-hmm.
that he went on his thing about the portal. You know where to find me?
Yes.
So
I saw the tweets.
So he's big social media, and he is slowly starting to build his staff. Now, Tim Brewster bringing him from Jackson State, and Brewster was a football coach at Minnesota, mm-hmm. is a well-known recruiter. That's a good move. Willie Taggart is going to have some role inside of Colorado football. You want to talk about, hey, 30 for 30 on a man's coaching career?
Mm-hmm.
How about we talk about Willie Taggart?
Really strange.
So Willie Taggart, I got to know him. Like, actually, I at one point I had a cell phone, mm-hmm. Ravi. He was at South Florida, and he would recruit, you know, South Florida's in Tampa. He would recruit the real South Florida. And so I would see him everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got a big promotion. And he goes to Oregon. I'm like, okay. Then he leaves Oregon.
After 1 year.
And he goes to Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, huh.
Only last 2 years.
Is that going to work?
It did not.
And then he left Florida State. And then he recently got fired.
Mm-hmm.
What a wild, like, not just over decades, like a wild 10-year stretch of football coached by Willie Taggart, where there was a moment, I mean, when he makes the jump from South Florida to Oregon, people are going, man, this guy is an up-and-comer.
He's the mm-hmm. next big thing.
Yeah, in college football. And now he's going to be in some role, maybe not even an on-field role, on Deion Sanders' staff. Now, his coordinators could be quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Zimmer, who has been in an advisory role, he kind of fits a little bit of the bill you were talking about earlier about finding a guy with experience on your staff that you can kind of lean on.
I mean, Brewster kind of does too. Yeah.
But Mike Zimmer might be the defensive coordinator at Colorado, who, you know, after being fired by the Vikings, took a year off. Him and his yoga girlfriend, who is well featured on Instagram, they toured the world, mm-hmm. and he was an advisory role for Jackson State. Okay, that's an interesting hire. The hire, though, because people are wondering, okay, what kind of a staff is he going to put together? We talked about it yesterday, what kind of a network he has. I have to say that my Tuesday night spent watching the MAC, the fast flash offense run by Sean Lewis at Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one gets me.
You might have me here. That could be a really good hire.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Sean Lewis was a tight end coach at Omaha under Pat Burns.
There you go, Omaha connection.
Yes, but he leaves, and I imagine at Kent State, you're not getting paid a lot of money.
Mm-mm.
So he leaves a Group of Five head coach to go be an offensive coordinator at a Power Five school. Count me very, very intrigued by yesterday's hirings of your coordinators. The defensive coordinator not finalized, but the offensive coordinator is, huh?
I mean, Mike Zimmer would be a huge coup, I think, as a defensive coordinator.
I agree.
I mean, say what you will about him as a head coach at Minnesota or whatever, but I mean,
he was a great DC.
Yeah, he was a really, really good DC at, what was it, Cincinnati before that?
Mm-hmm. With the Cowboys for many years.
Yeah, with the Cowboys. He won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys as an assistant. That's a guy whose defensive mind has been respected in football for decades at this point. You get him, he's in him and Brewster, both in their 60s, have a ton of experience, can kind of lend, like I was talking about yesterday, help him navigate the challenges of coaching a much larger program than he's dealt with before in Jackson State. I think those are two really good hires. Obviously, with the Kent State coach, you've got even more head coach experience on your staff. I actually am really impressed with the seeming self-awareness of Deion Sanders in the way he's put his staff together and saying, hey, here are some places where I don't have a ton of experience. Let's bring in people around me that do so that I can be successful here. A lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys don't. I mean, we just saw it, right, with Scott Frost when he came to Nebraska, brought his whole staff. And listen, I'm not hating on any of those guys individually, but with a guy that only has 2 years of head coaching experience at a Group of Five school, maybe coming to Nebraska, it would have been helpful to have, okay, this guy was a head coach, now he's a coordinator, he's going to be a coordinator moving forward. Like, some of those guys on staff might have been really, really helpful for a guy like Scott Frost. I give credit to Deion for seemingly identifying that as a potential weakness of him and addressing it in a really impressive way.
The Sean Lewis deal is the most fascinating because maybe, you know, people are thinking, well, what will Colorado do if Deion bolts after 2-3 years? Well, for Sean Lewis, there could be his head coaching opportunity if they set it up nicely. I mean, could be a really good staff. He's a good coach.
I mean, are you more likely to get a Power 5 job as a Group 5 head coach or an OC at a Power 5 program? So look at Tim Beck.
Yeah.
So Tim Beck, who has wanted to be a head coach, has been an OC at many Power 5 programs, has to go back to Group of 5 to get his head coaching job. Sean Lewis has been established at Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't finance the program very well, so that opens the door. If you call, they'll pick up the phone and go, oh, you mean I can...
You're giving me how much?
I'm basically doubling my salary, go be an OC at a Power 5 school?
Like, hold on, I'm packing.
Yeah, is the road easier as an OC or a Group of 5 head coach? Because I'll be very interesting moving forward on the kind of hires that happen in college football when name, image, likeness and the portal are all in play when you're hiring a new head coach.
Yeah,
and you can't pilfer somebody else's really good head coach.
Yeah, I wonder because I think there's an age thing here with whether it's easier to become a OC or a head coach from a coordinator spot or from a Group of Five spot. Because what I've tended to notice at least is if you're older as a Group of Five guy, you're probably pigeonholed as a Group of Five guy. Whereas if you're like Matt Campbell got his Group of Five job at Toledo at like 32 years old, that guy isn't a guy you identify as, oh, that's an up and comer. Or even like Kenny Dillingham, right? He's in the opposite spot as a coordinator. He was seen as a rising star as a coordinator. Boom, he gets a Power Five head coaching job. So to me, I don't know if it's about the spot as much as the spot you're in at a certain age in your career that kind of propels you to that next job. If you haven't gotten a head coaching job by the time you're 50 at any level,
right,
it becomes A, increasingly difficult that you're going to get that head coaching job, and B, and I actually did quite a bit of research on this, it becomes increasingly more unlikely that you will be successful if you do get one of those jobs. Hmm. Getting some head coaching experience prior to 50 is a pretty big deal for long-term head coaching success.
Well, Sean Lewis is going to find out if he can go to a Power 5 from Colorado. Or I like your reasoning, Jimmy. If let's say Deion is there 2-3 years.
Oh, that's a good point. It's a really good point.
You've got somebody that's sitting there that basically would know your entire roster.
And for Colorado, that's like, okay, it's not as bad. We got our guy. Yeah, and for Sean Lewis, he has his break.
You have a contingency plan for I don't think any of us expect Deion to be at Colorado for a decade. You know, he'd be in his mid-60s at that point. That seems unlikely. No matter how well or how poorly this goes, I don't think you see him there for 10 years. So you probably want to have something in place if you're Colorado to be like, okay, if he gets us going, Sean Lewis 4 years from now still only going to be 40, right? So right, that's what I mean. He got his job at...
I mean, you're right. The age thing, because I'm an older guy.
But the age thing's huge.
I mean, Kenny Dillingham is the head coach at Arizona State. He's 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's 32 years old. So let's say the oldest guy on his roster, he may only be 9 years older than him.
I mean, not even. So next year, you're talking about guys that are still have their fifth and sixth years, potentially. He could be like 6 years older than his oldest guy on the roster. I mean, Casey Thompson.
Exactly.
Casey Thompson's going to be 25 next year.
Okay, so doesn't Matt Rhule at 47 seem a little old? Him and Frost are essentially the same age.
Now he does. Or no, you said Rhule. Yeah, sorry. I had Campbell in my brain. I was like, Campbell's only 42. But yeah, 47, it seems like Matt Rhule's been around forever.
I mean, Lincoln Riley is now 40?
I think so.
I believe so.
So I'm glad you brought up the age thing, because this was a discussion we were going through all the different coaches. What was maybe one of the hangups with Lance Leipold?
His age.
He's 59.
Yeah. How long does he have? This is his last... Whatever job he was going to take next was going to be his last job. That's a problem. I mean, it was the only pushback anybody really had on Kyle Whittingham, who was one of my favorite candidates or potential candidates. He's 62. That's
a young 62, but still.
Which is still wild. You brought that up last week, and watching the game on Friday, and I'm like, that man's 62.
He's 62 years old. Lincoln Riley's still only 39.
Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman's 36, I think.
And there are a few coaches that get that break later after 50. The only one I can think of is Sam Pittman. He was 58, and he's been, he's turned the Arkansas program around. And he always wanted to be a head coach, and he got his opportunity then. So, yeah, Robbie's right. That 50, that's that golden number. So tying all that together, I see why Sean Lewis would do what he would do. And it might be fun. Like, hey, this could be fun. Working with Dion, we could do some winning and – thinking big picture, that's what the first thing that popped in my mind is. He could think, that could be my job if I play my cards right.
Well, he's been at Kent State since 2018. He probably realizes, you said they don't fund their program very well. He probably realizes in this day and age of college football, if you don't have a university or an athletic department that is committed to helping you with the resources, that his chances of succeeding there long term are probably not great. Even if he can land at a better Group of Five school after the Colorado job, that's probably a step in the right direction for him in terms of his career path.
They're going to run a fast offense. It appears to kind of fit a little bit what they did at Jackson State.
Yeah.
I also wonder, if you were at Jackson State and you were recruited by Dion and you were a highly rated recruit that chose to go to a historic black college and get the whole experience of being at Jackson State, and your head coach left, what if you called him up and said, hey, I want to come? I mean, not everybody is Travis Hunter. He said, coach, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Dion calls him, like, you with me?
No, but what if you want to come to Colorado, and he says, nah, we're good.
Unless you've produced at a really high level, you're probably stuck at Jackson State.
Yeah.
Like, unless you already have a track record of production. Even if you were... like everybody outside of Travis Hunter, right? So everybody below the Travis Hunter level. If you haven't produced yet, you're probably stuck at Jackson State.
Yeah.
I bet there were a lot of guys in that room who were like, hey, I'm going to Colorado.
Yep.
And Dion's like, no, you're not.
Four of you are.
I'm going to Colorado.
He's like, no, I want Travis and Shadur and all right, have a good night.
Get your popcorn ready.
He brought his luggage with him. He had one in each hand. He had Travis in one hand. He had his kid in the other. That was the Louis luggage.
Yep.
The rest of it, he's like, I'll pick it. I'll buy something at the hotel in the gift shop.
All right, 9:50. That game on September 9th, Mike Zimmer. I mean, you have two.
That's a good hire. That's a really good hire.
There you go. There's another storyline. You'd have two fired head football coaches from the NFL coaching in that game.
That's right.
And they'll probably have a blast doing it, too. Not the pressures of being a head coach. Yeah.
Zimmer's a great hire. I mean, Zimmer's a really good hire.
But how long does he stay?
Probably just a couple years, I would think. He's 66, so probably not super long.
His not on the field stuff with the Vikings is not going well, so he may be out of the NFL a little bit longer than.
Yes, I don't think he's I would be kind of surprised if he returned to the NFL at this point.
But those for coordinators, those are two really good hires by Dion Yu. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. It is National Microwavable Food Day.
All right.
Pick your best food that you've ever cooked in the microwave or is your go-to.
Okay.
We'll do that as we close out this edition of Gary and Friends with Ravi and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.